Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this beautiful, sunny, warm day. It's great to have you here today. Just a few announcements. First, there's going to be a congregational meeting held today after the service of worship to nominate officers and approve budgets for 2019. The 2019 offering envelopes are on the back. Session is having their meeting this week on Wednesday. Communion will be held next week, December 9th. And it's Advent candle time, so if people want to sign up for participating with Advent stuff, please let us know. And there are sign-up sheets in the back for the Christmas poinsettias, and please mark in memory of and in honor of, and the deadline for those is December 9th. The Christmas angel tree is up, so we invite everyone to get an angel or two to help a family out this year. Don't have the angels yet. We'll have angels. Okay. There are angels out there. They're just not marked yet. Okay. All right. Hey, good news. We said there wasn't going to be a Christmas play. Now there's going to be a Christmas play. So people were so crushed that they wanted a Christmas play. We're doing a Christmas play. So thanks, Carol. We appreciate that. And reminder, you can still prepare your per capita for 2018 of 3305. With that, I turn it over to Rebecca.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please join with me in our call to worship. Let us reach out with heart and soul to the Lord. O Lord, our God, in you we place our trust. Let us ask the Lord to lead us. Help us, O Lord, to find the paths we should take. Lead us in your truth, O God, and we shall rejoice in your love and goodness forever. Amen. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me in our opening hymn, number 93, Lift Up Your Heads, Ye Mighty Gates. Join with me in our prayer of confession. God of the future, you are coming in power to bring all nations under your rule. We confess that we have not expected your kingdom, for we live casual lives, ignoring your promised judgment. We accept lies as truth, exploit neighbors, abuse the earth, and refuse your justice and peace. In your mercy, forgive us. Grant us wisdom to welcome your way and to seek things that will endure when Christ comes into the world. Join me in our words of assurance. Our Lord Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Join me in confessing what we believe with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the Holy Ghost, was born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Now that we have been reconciled to God, let us show signs of that reconciliation to one another by greeting one another in faith. Good morning, everyone. On this first Sunday in Advent, we are going to have our first Advent candle lighting service. Not sure who's doing that, but whoever's doing that can come forward.
To be hopeful. Take away our doubt and fear and remind us that Christ is our light and the true source of hope. Amen.
Good morning, Glenshaw Valley.
Good morning.
I have a prayer request from Tom DeWorken for Francis Skip Gorzok, just admitted to the VA hospital in Oakland, severe liver damage, prayers for comfort and God's will. A prayer request from Carol Kane. We all know Dottie Johnson. Dottie suffered a bad fall and is recovering. That's why she hasn't been in church. And our last prayer request is from Cliff. This is a praise request from Cliff Hobb to the congregation. Thanks to everyone for your prayers, cards, emails, and calls for my health. After being in the hospital for 4 days, diagnosed with 3 major blood clots, 1 leg and 2 lungs, on blood thinner, treatment now.
Friends, let us continue to worship God by presenting our tithes. Nope, I skipped a song. I'm so sorry. Please rise and join with me in our hymn of meditation, Jesus, Name Above All Names. Friends, please pray with me. All glory to you, great God, for the gift of your Son, whom you sent to save us. With singing angels, let us praise your name and tell the earth his story, that all may believe, rejoice, and bow down, acknowledging your love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. We pray for Francis and for Dottie. Lord, we ask you to strengthen those who are facing particular challenges. Lord, on this day, we offer prayers of condolences to the Bush family on the passing of George Bush Sr. We thank you for his lifetime of service to our country, and we pray that you would be with his family as they mourn him. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Alaska who are experiencing some earthquakes. We pray that aid would come quickly and that the destruction wouldn't be devastating. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. We thank you that both churches are able to have a congregational meeting this morning. We thank you that you continue to speak through the voice of your body gathered together. We pray that you would continue to equip the saints for the work of ordered ministry. Lord, we also thank you that Cliff is with us in worship, that he is on the road to recovery, and that his hospital stay was short-lived. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. God Most High, your Son embraced the weakness of flesh to give us power to become your children. Your eternal word chose a dwelling place among us, that we might live in your presence. Grant us a spirit of wisdom to know how rich is the glory you have made our own, and how great the hope to which we are called. In Jesus Christ, our word made flesh, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us continue to worship God by presenting our tithes and our offerings.
Small. praise to the Lord our God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have blessed us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts to the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I'll do the scripture reading. Our gospel reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 25 to 36. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourself and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen, and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Sorry, but there's no singing angels in our scripture passage for this morning. No cooing baby Jesus, no smiling young Mary, no watchful shepherds, and no jubilant wise men. Instead of cute baby Jesus, we get angry adult Jesus, telling us that the whole universe is about to be shaken up and turned upside down. Our scripture passage for this morning takes place on the eve of Jesus' arrest. It may seem like we're skipping ahead a little bit in the Christmas story. But the reason that we read this passage in Advent is to show that both Jesus' birth and Jesus' return are all a part of God's salvific plan for creation. Towards the end of his life, Jesus sits his disciples down, and he tells them what his second coming at the end of the age will look like. God's salvific work, work that began in a stable in Bethlehem, won't be complete until Jesus returns. Christmas is the beginning of the story. But that story isn't quite over yet. This week marks the beginning of a new year in the church life. And this year, we are going to be journeying through Luke's gospel together. And one of the things you'll notice as we journey through Luke is one of Luke's themes is the tension that disciples feel living after Jesus was born, but before Jesus returns. I tend to call this living in between the times. What this means is we, as disciples who are living after Jesus was born, we're always looking for Jesus. But until Jesus returns, we're never quite entirely sure where we're going to find him. We also don't know when exactly Jesus will come again. So we've got to figure out what it means to be a faithful witness as we wait and watch. Now, even though we don't know the day or the hour when Jesus will return, we do get to see glimmers of the kingdom of God breaking in to our reality. During Advent, during these 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, we are going to learn how to wait for Jesus and how to watch for God's coming kingdom. Now, it can be really difficult to recognize these glimmers of the kingdom when we see them, because we live in a world that is at odds with the kingdom of God. It's rare to see the fruits of the Spirit, things like joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, and self-control in a world that's filled with so much suffering, death, and destruction. Advent, I would argue, is the spiritual discipline of learning to see the world with new eyes. It is the practice of looking at the world through the lens of hope that we have for Jesus' return. Yes, there is going to continue to be suffering and death and destruction in this world. But because of Jesus, we know that God is with us in the midst of all of that. And when we train ourselves to see God at work in our lives, we start to ask ourselves how we can get in on what God is already doing. Let me give you an example of what this might look like. So, for those of you who've gotten my Christmas card, you'll see on the front of the Christmas card, there's a picture of me in front of the Eiffel Tower. Last summer, myself and a bunch of other pastors in our presbytery traveled to France so that we could visit the Taizé community. Taizé is what's called an ecumenical, or Christians gather from all different types of denominations, monastery. So men live there who have taken vows of community, celibacy, and simple life. And this monastery is located about a 2-hour train ride south of Paris. Those of you who have looked at our hymnal will notice that our hymnal contains some Taizé chants. I like to sing them for special services throughout the year, like Thanksgiving or Good Friday. What I love about Taizé music is that they're really simple chords and lyrics. And this is done intentionally because you want people who can't sing or maybe who have never sung a Christian song before to be able to follow the chants. Also, men and women come to Taizé every year who speak a multitude of languages. So if you keep the chords simple, you can switch out the lyrics depending on what your native language is. During a Taizé worship service, the songs are sung many times. So after a while, you don't need to look at your lyrics anymore. And you almost forget that you're singing. And you feel like you're just offering continual prayers to God. While I was there, I learned that the monastery was founded in 1940 by an exceptional man named Brother Roger. Brother Roger created this place because he wanted to create a space where young people could come and figure out what it meant to be a post-war Christian. World War II forever altered European understanding of themselves in relationship to God. In fact, to this day, most Europeans don't attend any kind of church service. And this is mostly because they feel that the church has failed to teach them how a supposedly good God could allow world war not once, but twice. Brother Rogers was a man ahead of his time, and he actually encouraged and sought out young people to come and bring their questions with them. He particularly welcomed the questions that were unwelcome in churches. One of my favorite pictures of him, Brother Rogers is about 5'7", very skinny, and he's wearing white robes, and he's bald. And he's sitting in the grass with a bunch of long-haired hippies, with some anti-war protesters, and civil rights activists. I think the picture was taken sometime in the late 60s. Even though it's been 80 years since its founding, around 100,000 young people travel to Taizé every year. Brother Rogers believed that through prayer, study, fellowship, and service, young people can begin to discern their purpose in life. August 16th, 2005 began as any other day in the Taizé community. People arose at dawn for morning prayer. They ate breakfast. They did their chores. They gathered for Bible study. At around 6 o'clock, the community gathers for their evening prayers. During one of the prayers, Brother Rogers was stabbed to death by a mentally unstable young woman. He was 90 years old when he was attacked, clearly not much of a threat to anyone. His funeral attracted, I think, like 13,000 people. And at the end of the service, the person who was officiating asked his successor, Brother Alois, if he would offer a prayer. Brother Alois prayed for forgiveness for Brother Roger's killer. He prayed, "God of goodness, we entrust to your forgiveness Luminita Sulcan, who, in an act of sickness, put an end to the life of Brother Roger. With Christ on the cross, we pray to you, Father, forgive her, for she knew not what she did." When death comes quickly and violently to someone you love, anger is a pretty natural response. So is the desire to seek revenge. But had Brother Alois responded in anger, he would have undone Brother Roger's legacy of Christian unity. Instead, he got up in front of the thousands of people gathered from all over the world, and he asked God to forgive Luminita. In the midst of terrible tragedy, Brother Alois bore witness to the hope we have in Jesus' second coming. Until Jesus returns, terrible things are going to continue to happen to even the best Christians. Despite such terrible suffering, we hold firm to our belief in Jesus' return. We believe that when he returns, there will be no mourning or crying or pain or death anymore. This is the hope to which we cling. In the meantime, we worship a God who stands with us in our pain. Our crucified Lord knows what it's like to suffer. And when we choose to forgive those who have caused us pain, we share glimpses of the kingdom of God with the world. Typically, on the first Sunday in Advent, we celebrate hope. Hope that is coming to us in the form of a little baby born in a stable in Bethlehem. That somehow this little baby is going to forever alter the course of human history. He is going to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. He is going to give us the gift of eternal life. But the story is not finished in Bethlehem. The story will finish when Jesus returns. And because of that, we have hope. We have hope that Jesus is coming to restore creation to the way God intended it. And that when he does, the whole history of Israel's expectations will be complete. So in the meantime, in this in-between time, we wait for Jesus to return, and we watch for glimpses of the kingdom of God breaking into our reality. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me in our closing hymn, "The King of Glory Comes." Before I release the benediction, just want to remind you that after the end of the service, we'll be having a congregational meeting. So members, please stay. Visitors, we'll see you next week. Let me say a word of blessing. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God has sent you. Wherever you are, God has a purpose to you being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something he wants to do through you wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.
Amen.